Posloucháte podcast na fintech.cz.
How you look on current situation in the stock markets in USA, and what do you think about the next evaluation?
So we think we're at an inflection point in US markets. The last 5 to 10 years have been driven by an unprecedented period of monetary and fiscal stimulus. We think the monetary stimulus is over and the Fed has become much more hawkish. As a result, we think that equities will behave very differently going forward than they've behaved in the past 5 to 10 years. More specifically, the types of equities we expect to do well in the US are very different from the types of equities that did well in recent years.
If we will be speak about this year, how important is policy of Fed?
The Fed policy is critical to the performance of equities this year. In some ways, it was actually more critical last year because the Fed raised interest rates 425 basis points, 450 if you include the most recent Fed rate increase. And that obviously had a big impact and a negative impact on both equity and fixed income markets. This year, we expect the Fed to continue raising interest rates, but at a reduced rate. And so the impact of the Fed will still be pronounced on U.S. equities, but not as pronounced as it was last year.
What is your opinion to inflation in USA, especially to core inflation? How is it important for Fed and for stock markets?
Historically, the Fed's job has been to balance inflation and unemployment. This cycle, the primary initiative that the Fed has is to reduce inflation, because inflation has reached decades high levels. So the Fed's priority is to reduce inflation in 2023. And as a result, we think it will continue raising interest rates as a result. So that's its number one priority. What the Fed has going for it this cycle that it hasn't had in previous cycles is that unemployment is low. So it doesn't really have to worry too much about the employment picture. It can focus on reducing inflation.
Let me ask you, how is your opinion to condition of US economy? Generally,
the economy is doing great, and that's the problem. So real GDP growth in the fourth quarter was 2.7%, which is actually very strong. The problem with such high GDP growth is inflation has remained at elevated levels. So the Fed is unable to do its job until economic growth slows, which is why we think that there's a good probability of a recession either later this year or early next year in the U.S.
So you suppose the recession in USA?
We do. Our base case assumption is that we will have a mild recession in the US either later this year or early next year.
Could you tell me how looks reaction to recession from stock markets in USA?
So we think the stock markets are at risk if there's a recession. Right now, clearly equity markets are discounting a soft landing. They're anticipating that the economy will slow but not enter a recession. If that's the case, then we'll be fine with respect to U.S. equities. But if we end up in a mild recession, corporate earnings are likely to decline, and that decline in earnings is likely to put pressure on stock prices. So overall, with respect to U.S. equities this year, we're a bit cautious.
Huge issue in Europe, and I suppose in USA too, is inflation reaction law or act now. But how this program is important for U.S. economy and U.S. companies?
So the Inflation Reduction Act, as it relates to this specific topic, is really designed to accomplish two things. First is to decrease reliance on carbon and increase green energy exposure. So that's what the Inflation Reduction Act is designed to do. Obviously, there's some controversy with Europe because Europe wants to be able to supply the U.S. The Inflation Reduction Act basically requires that assembly of electric vehicles occurs in the United States, and then half the battery components are also sourced in the United States or from free trade partners, which excludes a lot of Europe. Ultimately, the legislation has passed, but the Department of Treasury has a great deal of latitude in terms of how it applies this. We think ultimately there'll be some sort of settlement with Europe around this particular issue.
I ask you easy, is Inflation Reduction Act good for USA?
It is. We think it's very good because it ultimately results in more investment in clean technologies and electric vehicles. And it also encourages, basically provides a tax credit for consumers to purchase electric vehicles. So we think it's good for the economy, good for the environment, but obviously it's going to require some negotiation with Europe around supply.
I was surprised from currently cooperation between Ford and China's company Cal. Ford wants to make a big factory on batteries.
Right.
It will be cooperate just with Chinese company Kalt. Right. So do you think this is cooperation is a result of Inflation Reduction Act or not?
Yes, I mean, ultimately, I think companies are trying to decide how best to deal with it. This is one possible solution to the challenge that the Inflation Reduction Act presents, but there are other possible solutions as well.
European car maker Audi, just thinking about new factory in USA, do you think that in USA will come a lot of European companies?
So ultimately, we think that there's going to be a reshoring of manufacturing in North America. Frankly, a lot of it will probably end up in Mexico, but some in the United States. Some of that manufacturing addition will come from European companies, but some of it will be U.S. companies that are basically building capacity here, ultimately with the goal really of taking semiconductor production capacity and moving it here and away from China for geopolitical reasons. That's ultimately the goal. Some of it will be European, some of it will be U.S.
What do you think about this trend, subsidy policy? We can see new program in USA, European Union thinks about same, maybe similar we can see in China. So what do you think about this trend, about this policy?
Clearly, I think the Inflation Reduction Act and the controversy there relative to Europe has showcased the need to avoid a trade war. Neither Europe nor the U.S. wants a trade war. Having said that, increasingly there are tensions with China. And so those tensions are likely to get worse, and trade between the two countries is likely to deteriorate.
So you see the risk in the relationship between the USA and China just now. It's start to be harder, if I understand good.
It's getting much worse. So recently, I think China basically excluded the four big U.S. accounting firms from doing business in China. And increasingly, obviously, there's the risk that China at some point invades Taiwan. And if that happened, that would be a deal breaker for us. We would have very significant ramifications in terms of trade relationship between U.S. and China.
How much is important China for U.S. trade, U.S. economy? How much is strong this relationship?
It's important. Obviously, it's a big trading relationship for us, and it doesn't look like anytime soon that we will end up in the opposite direction. So a big risk to U.S. equity markets, apart from corporate earnings this year, it's the relationship with China and the potential for a further deterioration.
We are speaking about risk. What do you think about the debts of the states?
You mean the U.S. federal debt? Yes. So it is a medium to long-term risk. So if you look recently, the congressional budget projections show that interest expense by the U.S. government is going to climb from about 8 to 10% of tax receipts to double that in the next 5 to 10 years. So that's going to put significant strain on the U.S. federal budget on top of what is already a massive deficit. So that will create problems over the medium to long term. In the short term, obviously, the biggest risk is the debt ceiling negotiations that are happening currently in Washington. We think they'll get resolved, but ultimately it's likely to lead to some volatility in the coming months as both sides negotiate.
If you just should tell me from American view, what is more important just generally? It's a war in Ukraine or the relationship between U.S. and China?
I mean, it's a really difficult question because they're both critically important in their own way. Obviously, for humanitarian reasons, we're concerned about the war in Ukraine, and we hope the war ends quickly. From a more geopolitical perspective, obviously, it creates increasing tensions with Russia and ultimately the potential eventually for some sort of conflict. So clearly don't want to go down that path. On the other hand, similarly, Taiwan is an issue for the U.S. as well, and China. An intervention there on China's part would create tensions with China. So you ask me a very difficult question. I think we're equally concerned about both.
The big topic in Europe is the support to Ukraine, support of Ukraine.
Sure.
But USA are not the best, but the biggest supporter of Ukraine. So what do you think? How long US will be support Ukraine? And what think the people in USA about this support?
Generally speaking, I think there is consensus that supporting Ukraine is the right thing to do. Obviously, there's probably a limit to the level of support. We also, you know, at some point we'll have a presidential election, and so there may be a change in leadership and a change in opinion there. But ultimately, I think the U.S. population is supportive of the support we've been giving Ukraine, and we would expect it to continue for the time being, at least.
If I ask on sectors, we can see the big success by defense industry or energy industry. So could you tell me which sectors have a good perspective, which is like a little bit worse or not so perspective?
Sure. With respect to the U.S. markets, there are kind of three areas in particular that we're interested in currently. One is energy, as you point out. There has been massive underinvestment in traditional oil and gas in recent years. And as a result, there needs to be massive investment. So companies that are involved in oil field drilling can be really attractive opportunities. The other opportunity we see is in financials. So financials, and particularly banks, should benefit in the interest rate environment we have. As interest rates rise, net interest margins typically widen, and we think the credit cycle in the United States is actually going to be fairly benign. So that's a second area. The third area that we like in particular is semiconductors, because we think there's going to be that reshoring of manufacturing, and so semiconductor equipment manufacturers, we think in particular, will benefit from this long-term trend. So those are three parts of the market that we're particularly favorably inclined toward.
Do you see better situation in defense sector of USA?
Yes. So obviously defense spending in the US and probably globally will increase. So there is some opportunity there. We have an ESG orientation in our investments. So we're fairly limited in terms of the type of exposure we have in our portfolios to defense stocks. But certainly defense spending will probably be rising going forward.
How important is for U.S. economy and U.S. companies war in Ukraine?
Obviously, the war in Ukraine is affecting global GDP and causing global GDP to decline. It's also contributing to higher inflation. The U.S. is fortunate because it's somewhat insulated relative to Europe, the rest of Europe, in terms of exposure. So, but it is having a negative effect both on inflation and GDP growth. It's also affecting, frankly, confidence in the U.S. and global economy.
If I ask on risks, what is the like a huge risk just now for stock markets, for economy, global economy, U.S. economy?
So the number one risk is continued inflation and the corollary, which is decline in corporate earnings. So really, if last year was about rising interest rates and valuations coming down, this year in U.S. markets, it's all about the earnings. So if the earnings come through, the markets will be fine. But the big risk to U.S. equities this year is that earnings expectations are too high and will need to decline further. And if that happens, we expect pressure on U.S. and, frankly, global equities.
If I ask on bond market, so what do you think about its condition and next evaluation of bond market? And maybe I ask to relationship between stock market and bond market. What do you think about this cooperation?
Sure. So last year, the U.S. equities and bonds were very highly correlated, which meant that if you look across a balanced portfolio in U.S. consisting of both fixed income and equities, it was one of the worst years ever in terms of financial returns. And that's because interest rates went up and negatively impacted both bonds and equities. This year, we believe bonds are back. We think this is a great time to be investing in U.S. fixed income, particularly because we think while rates will go up, they're closer to peaking than not. And the current yield on fixed income securities in the U.S. we think is pretty attractive. So we're very favorably inclined towards bonds. And as I mentioned before, a little cautious with respect to equities based upon the earnings outlook.
I changed the topic. We have in Europe big discussion about the price of LNG from USA. USA side tell us that the reason of high prices is on European side, especially on French companies, not on the American side. So what is the reason higher prices of LNG to Europe and prices in USA, if I ask clearly?
Well, so the difference obviously has to do with transportation costs. So we produce LNG or natural gas in the United States and then ship it abroad. There's substantial costs in shipping LNG abroad, and the cost structure then is built into the price. The reason natural gas is so cheap in the United States is because we produce a lot of natural gas, actually more than we need really in some cases here, and are able to export it abroad when needed. So that's the reason for the price differential.
Not so long we published analysis of Rand Corporation. It's an American company.
Sure.
And in this analysis, we read that long war in Ukraine is bad for USA. And the second point was that the cooperation between China and Russia now is at advantage for USA. So do you see any bad links or cooperation between China and Russia now?
Absolutely. I mean, there's increasing cooperation between the two countries, and that's not working to the advantage of the U.S. economy nor the U.S. markets over time. Again, we think at a high level, we're going globally from a period of globalization to deglobalization. And clearly, there are different regions forming. We are part of one region with Western Europe. Russia and China are emerging as a separate region. It's not good for the economy. It's not good for geopolitical tensions. It's really not good for anybody, but that's the nature of the situation that we find ourselves in.
We in Europe just hard concentrate on every next step of Fed or US shares, stock markets. If you give easy advice to investors in Europe how to work with US shares and US stock markets, what do you tell them?
Buy and hold. I mean, the US economy is arguably the world leader in commercializing innovation, and that's pretty evident in terms of the success of a number of world-leading companies. We think that that will continue for their foreseeable future. If you look over time, U.S. companies have been more profitable than non-U.S. companies, and they've typically had better balance sheets. In other words, less debt. So while the U.S. equity markets may be a little bit ahead of themselves this year, over time, we think it's one of the best places globally to invest. And as a result, we would just suggest to investors that they buy and hold securities in U.S. equities.
Sledujte fintech.cz.